just a job. Come on. You preacher, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preacher.
Excited with everyone. extent as possible, as far as it depends on you. Live at peace with everyone. Written is mine to avenge what I will repay, says the Lord. On contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he especially gives him something to drink, in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome with good as evil. The Lord adds a blessing to the readers and the hearers of God's great work. All right, let us pray. Lord, we enter your presence with hearts for thanksgiving who you are done for us. Thank you for the word for this day. Thank you for your life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Thank you for a blog, talk, radio, and the avenue of bringing back the family. God, we pray that you use us in this venue to help us. Lord, how we really can bring back the family, that this is the manner that you mean for us to separate. Lord God, please let bring back the family to provide a way to help us children and what it has done for you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, young man, Marlon Buck, for that. We appreciate you. We have to give them the opportunity to serve and the opportunity to be able to, speak on a microphone. And this would be something that they'll be doing after we're long gone, So hopefully it might be something that he want to do, professionally. So we have to give them a chance and show them how to do these things. It's just training, like they say, train up a child. Okay? So, thank you for that, young Marlon. So, wake up, everybody. This song is like my theme song, and it just says so much. It says a lot, and it should give us a lot to think about. You heard the words of that song, and something was going on back then that gave them reason to write that song, to have concerns and to care about what was going on. And, it's the same thing right now. We're going through just about the same thing that song was talking about, and that's why that song is really, close to me. I like that song. And it's an old song, but it's still relevant. It still sounds good. It's an oldie but goodie, but it's still good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a call for people to wake up. And that's what the song talks about. It's a call for people to wake up, to get engaged, and to make a difference. It talks about hatred, war and poverty, going through that. Challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time, calling for reform and change, awareness, hope, and accountability. All those things. We want change, and we need change right now. We do, because we're going through a lot, with our youth are going through a lot. And so when they're going through a lot, that means we're going through a lot, and it gives us thought and concern of how we can help. So whose responsibility is it? Whose responsibility is it? It says, no more backward thinking, times of thinking ahead. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. So who is responsible and who is willing to take the responsibility to sacrifice and making this world a better place for us to live in? So are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make up in our minds to do? Okay? So Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around this world. And all they need is a good foundation. And, I propose that we do that block by block. Do something on your block. There's kids all over this world. We have neighbors, kids up and down our street, on our block. If we could just reach one or two, three, four kids on our block and that we live on and just do something positive with them, then that's part of the battle, you know. That's part of the remedy of trying to get our kids what they need to make it so that they can make it in this world. It's about them. Most of us is listening, we're grown, and most of our kids are grown, and we know what we did to help them. And so if we can, we know what we did to help them. And so if we could just extend just a little bit further and just look and see who's on our block and take an assessment of what it is that they need, so that we know, you know, we have these phones, these telephones, and they really have us off focus and on the wrong focus. And it's just like I was talking to a young kid today, and so just telling them how the phones have distracted us, and they make us have certain behaviors and go through certain things that we should not even be going through. And it's like the phones have us like hypnotized. And we don't have the conversations and the communication that we used to have. And so, because these phones are like our boyfriends or girlfriends, and we just love them. And so if we just start, we have to start it, just the conversation. If we see some kids on our block, just have some conversations with them and talk to them about what's on their minds, what they need, what are they doing, what are they going to be when they grow up. You know, just have some conversations so that you get them used to conversating, because if we don't conversate with them, we're the teachers, and if we don't conversate with our kids just to let them know that we care about them, that we're interested in what they have to say, we're interested in their little lives and what they want to do, you know, they'll know that we're interested. And, you know, they'll know that you care about them. Just the littlest things that make them bring out the respect in them, because when they see you coming, they're going to be saying, hey, Miss Carly, hey, Miss Clyburn, hey, Miss Cassie, hey, Miss Lisi. And they'll just be, you know, it'll open them up. But if you don't never say anything to them, they won't know what to call you. They won't even know who you are, you know, and they won't be taught how to respect or how to greet a person. So we are the teachers, you know, to teach the little ones. And like I said, somebody taught us how to do and how to be and how to behave and how to act, okay? And so sometimes it just takes, you know, kids are going through a lot these days, and it just takes a simple conversation to have with our youth in order for them to just feel some kind of love and warning just to be needed, you know. You know, just block by block, do something in your block. And, you know, it's some work. Everything is work. You know, anything we do, I don't care what it is that takes time, is work involved. And but we want to see these young folks make it. We want to see them in some positions. We want to see them do positive things. And, you know, if they're safe, we're going to be safe, okay? So it's all about reaching back and giving somebody what somebody gave you. That's all it is. I have my kids, and I got about 10 of them that I'm working with right now. And they are really enjoying themselves. They, you know, they're excited. My pastor said they're feeling love when, you know, you step out the door or you put your head out the door and they say, hey, Miss Cassie, you know, you can't even look out your door because they can, and they're ready to go somewhere. They ready to see what you got for them, or they ready to, you know, just, you know, do something with you. And so this is how this thing starts. So just taking a little time out with them, and just you know, buying them a book, just some conversation, just a little time is all they need. They're knocking on my door right now because they're ready to go. They're ready to do. I told them I'll take them to the park later. When I told him, I said, if you let me do my show, after I'm done, then we can go. And I'm going to reward them for going to church today. And they, I guess they're just ready for their reward. So they're just knocking and hollering and, you know, screaming in the door, come on, can we come in? And, you know, but that's okay. That's okay. So that lets you know that they are in need, that they want you to talk to them. They want you to spend time with them. Okay, so, yeah, it don't take nothing, you know, to share some love and some time and just a little finance. It don't take much. Because somebody did it for us. And I'm just happy to do it. And I told you that, you know, God will give you the increase that you need to do whatever it is that you need to do. If you want to start a program or do something positive with the youth, then just do it. Just go and dig deep in your pocket and just go ahead, whatever you need to do, just do it, because God will give it back to you, because he owns everything anyway. We just borrow everything we have is on borrow and on lend. Okay? So what we're going to talk about today is, you know, what is the purpose of family as it relates to our youth? You know, what is family really all about, you know, in relation to the youth? And what are our responsibilities and contributions to the family? Do we really know what our roles are when it comes to the family and our youth? And how do we get our children well-rounded in everything that they need to know to when they get ready to walk out here and become adults and go around this world and deal, you know, with people? What do they need? You know, do they just need secular education? Do they need, you know, religious education? You know, is it going to hurt them? You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm not into all that religious stuff. But it's nothing more than learning how to conduct yourself. It's like reading the Bible. It's no different than you reading a self-help book, or how to put some makeup on, or how to get from A to Z, reading a map, how to's. It's the same thing, and it's just situations that we go through that just show us how to navigate, you know. I was telling the kids, young man today, I told him how my mom, she didn't really focus on our education, she focused on our behavior. And I'm glad that she did that, because we do know how to go places and behave ourselves. We do know how to conduct ourselves. We can learn how to read. We can learn the education part. But if you don't have no behavior, if you have bad behavior, you're not going to be focused enough to really be able to learn anything. So trying to stay focused on like I said, she worked on our behavior, and that's what we're having a lot of problems with now, children's behavior. Their behavior, where the teachers can't teach while they're in school, they can't teach because they have to, you know, get the class in order before they can even get ready to teach. And it's just a total massive behavior problem. So we need to kind of work on our kids' youth behavior, you know, because they're already in school, you know, supposed to be learning. But if we work on that behavior at home and work on that behavior on our block, you know, even just if you give them something, just teach them how to say thank you, you know. We've been going golfing, trying to teach them how to golf, and the man, Mr. Moran, that's teaching them when they're given something, or they're showing, being shown things, or he sees someone doing for them, he makes sure he tells them, okay, say thank you, you know. And so that's learning as you're teaching them at the same time. And so those are easy things to do, just trying to teach them how to be thankful. So what is with their behavior. You know, as long as I've been doing the show, it's been a year now, and I've talked to many people, and you've heard, you know, people on the show, callers on the show discuss and talk about keeping the youth busy, keeping them busy. And those are some of our responsibilities. You know, what are we contributing or investing in the family? Because, you know, our youth and our children are part of the family. What are we showing them? Do we really know what our role is when it comes to our family and the youth? Do we really know what our role is? What are we really supposed to be doing? What do we have expectations for them, high expectations? A lot of callers, you know, when we ask them, how did you get your youth to go to college? Or how did you get your youth to get all A's? How do you, you know, and they're just saying competition, competing. If you're in a setting where you're competing with each other, everybody's trying to do good. But if you're in a setting where nobody cares and nobody's trying to get A's, where nobody's trying to read or learn how to read, well, they don't learn how to read, why should I learn how to read? But everybody's on that same, you know, level. So we have to challenge our kids more, challenge them and have higher expectations. And then I also was discussing with the youth today about, you know, not having anybody to encourage us to go to college, encourage us to get good grades, encourage us to be the best that we could be. You know, we had counselors in school, and I never once heard my counselor tell me about going to college or even talk about the future. And so, I'm telling the kids, I say, what I'm trying to tell you and give you, you'll be happy later, because, and you can't say that nobody never told you about planning your future or going to college or trying to get you resources for college and things like that, because I'm telling you, because nobody told me, okay? And I thought that I should have gotten more you know, from counselors at school, you know, because I think that's their job to hear you and encourage you about, you know, school and financial aid and things like that, and the how-tos of getting to college. So if you have some information, if you have resources that will help our youth to encourage them about going to school, just having a conversation with your youth on your block, just asking them, what are you planning to do with your little life? You know, what do you want to be? You know, we need some nurses. You know, we need, you know, law enforcement. You need somebody to help us with the law. We need some police officers. We need some judges. We need some attorneys. We need, you know, all these things. And you read well, so you will be a good attorney. That's encouragement, you know, because if we don't talk to them about any of those things, what are they thinking? What are they going to do? You know, so we give them like Chuck E. Cheese. We take them to Cedar Point, you know, and it's like that's what they grow up knowing, you know. But it's never, you know, well, I'm going to the library and I'm going to, you know, learn how to build this, or, you know, no property. No, they don't have any idea of their next step or what they're supposed to be doing, you know, what their future is supposed to be. Because I talk to them, they just don't say anything about it, you know. So we just need to communicate and talk to our young more. And I think those are just some of the responsibilities that we hold, that we should share with the youth. It's a whole lot that goes into family and our youth. And my niece, Shania, always talks about how her parents were always at the school and volunteering and encouraging them to do great things. And then one caller talked about, you know, going to school too, letting your young people see you going to school. I'm gonna open my guest mic today, Mrs. Vandergriff and Jackie Vandergriff and Callie Pierce. I'm opening you guys' mic so you guys can chime in when you get ready. And parent and being a family, and family to me is just like, you know, just being helpful, being supporting one another. It's like we support everybody else, everybody's causes and all other people's causes and things, but we don't support ourselves. And so family to me is like the biggest supporter of all. And I think that, you know, it's good to have support from your family, because those are the ones that you're around all the time. Those are the ones that, you know, that you came from. You can encourage and support anybody, but when you have a family, everybody should be interested in helping one another, you know. And I say that because I saw it done, and I know that it can work, you know. And that's what Bring Back the Family is about. Us doing what we need as a family to help the youth, to get what they need, so that they can have what they need to make it. Because we have what we need. Let's just talk about that. The responsibilities and the contributions to the family and our roles. Do we really know what our roles are? Seems like it's the roles are getting away. And nobody is focused on what it is that we need to do for our youth. What y'all got? So press 1 if you're going to be a part and you want to have a word to speak. I have guests, Ms. Pierce and Mrs. Vandergriff. If one of you guys want to chime in and start the ball rolling, welcome to.
This is Jackie Vandergriff. How's everybody doing?
Wonderful.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You know, I took some notes here, and I want to go back to one of your younger guests, Sanaya, I believe, said that she was growing up, her mother and father, they selected the children that they wanted her to be around. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that, and I said, you know, when they little, they call it play dates now. You know, you have your friend and everybody get together, and they might go to the park, and their kids, they all play together. And then when it's time to go, they go and get some treats and ice cream or something, and then everybody go home. And I think they would do this once a week. But now I remember my sister's grandson, they had a group, and this small group, all of them made each other accountable. They had group dates. So if they went skating, a couple of parents would be responsible for picking up certain kids, and they would all meet up at the skating rink, and they would have fun, and it was a little group. So they didn't have the peer pressure of getting in trouble, because they went there to have fun, and they had a fun as a group. But when it was time to study, they made sure that everybody was accountable. They studied in groups, whether they was over the phone, FaceTime, but they all, because they were in the same class, so they would go over the assignments together, and they took the play date into the accountability time as a group. So that came, I kind of thought about what what Sanaya had said about her parents, making sure that she was socializing with people that was going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And these other children, all of them graduated with a full ride. So thinking about that, saying that, okay, we have Zoom. Now, they have kids at the schools that some of the teachers could identify that we could either take a day that we have an ice cream social where each one of, say if you had three kids, well, you would make sure that some ice cream and the little things that they put on there to make the ice cream look good, the caramel and the sparkles or whatever it is, and everybody get on Zoom making their ice cream for that hour, and they get on Zoom about accountability. So what it seems like you're doing is you're pulling your kids into a circle of children that want the same thing. So now they're studying together. They're socializing together. If I know we have limited places they could go for activities, but the thing about it, we have to find something where these parents could come together and take them if they're going out for something sociable. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that way, if you have somebody guiding that, if you have three or five kids doing this as a small group that's in one grade, then there's five kids that is going to each semester, they're going to grow stronger and stronger together, building networks and looking to go in the same direction. That's just something that came off the top of my head. And some of this came from Kathy buying the ice cream for the kids on the street instead of buying it from the ice cream man. She told them, go in and get your ice cream. Go get a popsicle. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, and we could, and I was thinking, I said, now if you're doing Zoom, let your youth lead one day, each day. One of them lead the group. And maybe they want to talk about character. And let them have their dialogue talking to each other about what they should do, how they should ethics, how they should carry themselves, how should they be responsible for each other, okay? And if we're dealing with teens, we want to let them know you're closer to being an adult than you are a child. So now you have to start thinking, being accountable as an adult. You got to calculate your every move. You got to calculate every decision that you made to figure out what the outcome could be before I do it. Because you're closer to being an adult than you are a child.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just some things that came across my mind. And another thing I was thinking about, and this is something that I know that worked, we did it for many years, okay, and kind of got away from it during the COVID years, okay, but we used to let them create a business name, and their business, one of the, under their LLC, imaginary LLC, was school. Now, instead of giving them money, they had to earn it by doing their homework. They had to earn it by the getting A's. If you get A's, this is what your company has earned. B's earn this. And only way a person get a C if they went to tutoring and they couldn't do any better. They did the best that they could. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they had the accountability of turning school not just something I have to do and making it a business. So now this is your company, and in your company, you, if you take a state test, that means you have to study. You want to be in the top level. And if you're in the top level, you're going to receive a bonus for being in that top level. And you got to give them a pay sub that they are employee of their own company when they pay for them. And I know it works because I tried it. And I think that's something that we're going to do this year. I've already talked to my nephew, and we're going to get back to that. And I think that in the past it has worked for him for 9 years. So this year he'll be going into the 11th grade, and we want to try to work. We're going to work this one out for this year, that accountability. And his whole actions fall under his mission statement, and his actions fall under his business. So you are your business. So whatever you do, you are representing your company.
And that's introducing them to a company. That's introducing them to a business, the business world.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I love that.
That's the thing that
our kids don't even hear about. They don't even hear about us talking about this. We support a lot of businesses. We support everybody's business. But we need to start teaching our children that they can be bosses, that they can have their own business. And when we see these lemonade stands out here and we see these different little businesses that we're, you know, giving these kids to do, support them. Support them and let them know that they're doing a great job and encourage them, you know. Yeah. So that they get used to that. Beautiful.
And you know as parents, we have to write our kids in our schedule and give them what we call me time. This is like you schedule, if you know that you have to be at a choir rehearsal at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, you're going to make sure that you're going to meet that requirement. Well, you got to figure out what day of the week that you're going to give your children some me time, and let it be constructive me time, okay? Let them decide if you're going to have ice cream social with them. Well, let one of them, before you get there, they got to look up what it is to say. Why should you say thank you for when somebody does something for you? Why is it important to say good morning or good evening or good night? Why is it important to pray before you eat your food? Why is it important to pray before you go to sleep? And let them lead the conversation.
That's right.
That's just something that had crossed my mind, and talking to different people and listening to some of the things that you do, Kathy, with the young people. And I said, okay, well, let me see how this could work in this scenario.
Yeah, hands-on is very important. And like even when they, like you said, you have to show them you, even when we get in the car and we're going somewhere, I tell them, okay, let's pray while we go, and tell them why we're praying so that we can, you know, get to our destination safely and get back safely. And so then I give them the opportunity to pray, you know, let them know why we're praying. And, you know, when whatever you do in this life, you have to, you know, you have to pray about it. So, yeah, and that teaches them, you know. That teaches them. and get them used to prayer. And, you know, that, and that's what I talk about, you know, having our kids being well-rounded, you know, so that when they do go out in this world, they'll know about everything. They'll know about God. They'll know about reading. They'll know about reading the Bible. They'll know about everything that someone could bring to them. They'll know something about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do we get them well-rounded with these things? Just taking them out, letting them get to be social. We have to socialize them, because then they'll never know how to behave if we don't, you know, take them places. We went to Tigers baseball game last week. We went golfing, and, you know, they really enjoyed it. They really enjoyed the golf. They've never golfed before. They know nothing about it. And then, you know, they've been taking step by step, baby steps. And now we went to the golf range at Belle Isle, and so they were really able to hit. And they were really, really getting into it and really, really enjoying it. So if we don't show them, if we don't give them that experience and take them out to let them experience some things and see how other people do things, then they just won't know. They won't get any kind of inkling about nothing that they're supposed to do. So this Wednesday we're going to the Science Center. And, you know, they're looking forward to that. So it don't have to be a whole bunch that we do. Just do something to let them know that we're encouraging them, that we expect greatness from them, and we want them to be able to make it in this world, because this too shows them how to share and how to care about others. Okay, so they won't be going around pushing senior citizens down, you know, or talking to them, right, push you down, you know, won't help you across the street, won't open the door for you or anything. Once you get them out and start socializing them in these different venues and things like that, then they'll know how to do some stuff. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll push you down.
Can I add in something, Kathy?
Yes, ma'am. Please do.
Okay. Good afternoon, Jackie. Good hearing from you and whatnot. And very good points, both of you. I love your introduction, Kathy. Yeah.
Thanks.
You know, like Jackie said, it's very important to socialize the young people, because if you don't expose them to etiquette and things like that, you're going to have a problem when they get older. You can't wait till they get like 13, 14, 15 to socialize young people. You got to teach them when they're five to take them out places and give them proper behavior. Oftentimes the news media, they portray young teenagers out here acting like complete idiots. They're being brawled at the malls, and they're fighting everyone. Every time you have a carnival somewhere, someone is fighting. So, like Jackie said, if you start them young in groups, trying to be friends and trying to set them all on the same path to greatness, they'll continue to follow that when they get older. Another thing she was saying about socialization, you try to get children, if you have young children, you can steer them to good friends. But even if you got this one that's in there who's not as your own child, you can also try to teach that one also. Because if you're trying to do a village thing, you want to teach them all. If you see a young child that's having some behavioral issues, then as an adult and as a parent, you try to corral that, and you let them know. You give them some boundaries and whatnot, and you try to corral that behavior, even if you're not that person's parent. And I can say raising my sons, I did that very thing. My house was considered the when they said the Kool-Aid house, where all the young boys would come. And they all had their rules. I had a set of rules there for my sons, and so everyone else had to follow those same rules. And if there were one or two that was not following the rules, well, they weren't allowed to come over and participate with the fun with the other young men had. And no one wanted to be ostracized. They, at that time, there wasn't anything else in the area for these young people to do. We were in a new community, and they didn't have any recreation centers. They didn't have anything for the young people to do. So we made our own fun, you know, within the confines of my home. And I didn't care, even though it was a new home, I didn't care about having everything look pristine, because this was a home that we lived in, and I didn't worry about them marking on the walls, even though they were always respectful. They never trashed my house, but I let them know this is a place where they can grow together, play together, learn from each other. And those same relationships that those young men had when they met these young men at 10 years old, they still have the same, they still are very good friends. They share their knowledge together. One of the young men got my young man into the aeronautic program. And so they all did very well, all those young men. There's at least 20 of them that would come by on a regular basis, you know, just like every day. And I provided that safe place for them to be. Those young men ate together. They studied together. They would go to, when they built the library out there, that was a place for them to hang out at. And so, yes, all those things you try to do to steer your young people in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, ma'am. That's what's missing. You know, all the parental involvement and just caring for someone else's kid. That a lot of that's missing. And like you said, the rec centers is nothing for them to do. So, what is our responsibility as parents and the community to make sure that rec centers and things for our kids to do are there for them? Where do we go? Who do we, you know, who do we bang on the door? You know, who do we put the pressure on to get those things? Because they know that we need it. They know that we need it. And then the safe place.
Well, Kathy,
you know,
just like that, Kathy, it has to start in the home. I mean, the parents have to take out time. They have to set a schedule. Even if
mm-hmm.
you're working, even if you're going to school as a parent, you have to set out a schedule for activities for your own child first. And you can't,
mm-hmm.
Even if they don't have a rec center in your area, well, go drive, just the same as you can drive to go get your nails done, your hair done, pedicure.
Mm-hmm.
You can also drive to another community that has those things.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested
yeah.
in trying to raise a positive and well-rounded child, it has to start with at home. If they don't have those things within your community, then you have to drive where they have that opportunity for your child. And anyone else, if there's other children, if there are other children in the area that's friends with your son, then you can get permission and you can take that child also. Then maybe you and the parent can, you know, swap back and forth. Say, well, I'll take them to the gym this week, and maybe next week you could take them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, for his recreation centers in every other community, why is not recreation in our community? So it's somebody that's responsible for those things that bring those things to our community. But we, I think, as parents have to be the ones to go down and put that pressure on and to make sure that we get those same things that we need in our community to keep our youth busy. And then, you know, like you said, the safe, these kids, I tell you, the safe place, you know, giving them somewhere to be. And no, ma'am, giving them a safe place to be. And, you know, all that goes in with relationships. Look at the relationships that they bonded together and were able to help each other. And so look at that in relation to the day. How did everything get so violent now, where our young boys are, you know, attacking one another versus, you know, what we had then? They had good relationships. Now, it's like they want to take each other out. How are we going to change that? How are we going to change that?
Well,
that's one way, getting back to that safe place where we get out and help and bring the kids to our homes and keep them busy. Yeah.
The media is a powerful source of what is going on in the society today. The
mm-hmm.
media, where they're glamorizing killing and hypersexualizing our young ladies.
Mm-hmm.
The media, and it's hard to fight against the media. The only way you're going to fight against that is if you don't have a TV in your home. And also these video games that are promoting violence. And the people say it's not the video games, but if you sit there all day long and watch the video games, they're constantly shooting and shooting, even though you know it's just fake. But after a while, I think it desensitizes you. And one guy told me that some of the games, video games these young people are playing are very things that they had when they were in the Army, where they were doing combat training so they can learn how to shoot accurately and whatnot. So it's the same thing that, you know, we have put that into our homes, militarizing
mm-hmm.
our young boys.
Wow. So that needs to change, really. If we really want to see our kids make it, you know, past 18 years old, then we, you know, have to change that way of thinking as far as giving them something to keep them occupied versus spending time with them, spending quality time, the quality time that they need, where they, you know, you're active and interacting in their lives, you know, instead of just letting those video games be the babysitters. So, yeah, so they're learning to be violent
in your home. Now, but, you know, Kathy, one of the mm-hmm. things is that the churches were the safe haven for a lot of kids' activity.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID came, shut the churches down. That shut down the programs they had for the youth. And now you have children out here, and they are predators that are focusing on our children. And it always go back, and I listen to these words. We're playing chess, and they're playing
mm-hmm.
checkers. We're playing checkers, and they're playing chess. It was calculated because prior to it, the youth had started going to the churches, being a part of the activities, and they were becoming well-rounded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everything changed. And now you have a child sitting in the house 24/7 with no activities. I was looking at this place downtown. It's not that far from Shane Park. It's a simulated place that have actually you go in, and if you get in the boat, and the computer will give you the experience of really catching a fish and teaching you how to fish. And you go through the struggles of trying to keep that fish on there. Then another section, you get in the helicopter, and the helicopter simulated make it feel like you're actually flying this helicopter. They have the ski slopes. They have everything that they have up north experience for that some children experience up north that never be able to experience in the city. But the only thing is, it closes at 3 o'clock. Our children not out of school in time to go to that place. But it's an experience. Some senior citizens go, and they experience it. But it's a great place to take children for them to actually have that experience, like they are actually doing these things that they never did. They never was on a ski slope. And this simulator computer, they get on this and the skis, and it's like the computer got them actually doing this activity. That's a great experience for our children, and it's something that, and I can't think of the name of the place, but I do know it's not that far from Shane Park on that little strip back there. But it was an awesome experience for young people that never had that experience before.
Okay.
It's not actually downtown, but you know how you're going towards Shane Park? It's one of those streets back there. And I can't remember the exact street because we went there a couple of times, but that was years ago. And it had inside there, they have everything that you want to experience as if you were riding a snowmobile or if you were on jet skis on the river. And this computer will make you feel like you are actually on that or the bike trail, like you riding on the bike trail in a marathon. All outside activities, you got a computer to simulate this. And it's the whole experience that some kids go up north and they experience these things. Well, it was put there for you to experience it even if you never get up, never go up north.
Okay, I see.
But
and
that's
is that a good thing? I mean, it sounds real good, and it may give them that experience. But it's like, once again, that's making you, I mean, that's an indoor activity, and that and it could probably be the same thing on these video games where you can act like you're skiing and whatnot. And it's like, it's, to me, it's more programming because it keeps you in a cheer, and your mind is working, but your body is not. And it reminds me of when I took my grandson to Universal Studios, and we went on one of those rides, and we never left out the seat. But I tell you, I was hollering like I was crazy. These kind of things feel like a deep dive, you know?
Right.
And you never left out the seat was rumbling a little, moving a little bit, but you know, it's like it really looked like I was up in space somewhere and falling to earth. It was awful. So,
so I feel
you know,
like you have a very good point there. But you know, you have a very good point. You have a very good point there. But what I was thinking at in this is that, and I know that it's nothing like actually doing that. But if your child experienced something like that, and then one day maybe you want to take them on the ski slopes. Out skiing, they won't have fear.
Right, they might want the real thing. And I know your grandson was looking like for real, Grandma, for real.
Right, he was, you know, he was really enjoying it, you know.
And he asked me, he said, are you scared? I said, well, weren't you? He said, well, no, you know, because that's something he used to those video games. But I tell you, you know, it was making my stomach, you know, hurt, you know, because he didn't go through a free fall. I was holding on. I was screaming and hollering. And we never even left our souls in the face.
Right. So that's good. Like she said, that'll make them want to go do the real thing, because if they don't get up north, you know.
I tell you what, I'll make sure I never get on that ride you were on.
They were, Jackie, they were all like that. They were all simulated like that, okay? You know,
that was an experience,
in a dark room, and they had these like video things, and you were holding on for your life in that seat that never even left the little spot there. And I said, when I back to my left, Universal Studio, my head was hurting, stomach was hurting. I thought that, you know, I said,
so it really captivated your mind. It just took your whole mind. You couldn't even think about.
Yeah,
I know I'm sitting in this chair, and I'm not out in space anyway.
Well, it's like you were free falling, and like it would a little bit, just a little bit, and it made you seem like you were falling, and it wouldn't go ever come back up the air. You know, so a person could really have a heart attack in that thing.
You know what? I can agree.
Well, that's good.
You remember when they had the auto show here? They had one of those simulators in the auto show, but they had a huge sign up there. If you have high blood pressure and all of these lists of medical conditions, you had to sign a paper that you didn't have that, because you could not go on that ride.
Well, they should have had that disclaimer on those rides at Universal Studio, because I'm telling you, you know, my heart was beating hard, my stomach was hurt every time. It's just like being on the roller coaster, you know, going down for that first, you know, big drop. That's how it was. That's how it felt.
Oh,
and
wow.
We never left our
that
first
was
seat,
an experience.
Okay? Yeah.
That is deep. So there you go. It's just like, I think it's just like when you go, like even the Chuck E. Cheese and places like that, they have those like motorcycles and video games that you can ride and make it seem like you drive, but that's just on a different, you know, a smaller level. So you can learn from those things. You can probably just almost get a good experience with that. You can learn from that. Join us, 225. Join in on the Bring Back the Family show.
How y'all doing? This is Brittany.
Hi, Brittany.
Hey, Brittany.
Hi, Brittany.
Hey. I just wanted to chime in a little bit about the whole thing about children and businesses, and like the day and time that we're currently in. Of course, children are coming out of the womb with a tablet or a phone in their hand. Mm-hmm. They already know how to use these things. That is the way of the future, is technology. I'm 31 years old, so I grew up as a child always outside. My mama always had us outside playing around. When I became a teenager, that's when technology really started to take off. I grew up, there was a floppy disk. There was nothing about thumb drives, and it's a floppy disk, an old computer. So I understand that concept. And then now as a 31-year-old, even my face is glued to my phone and my computer. So our children, I think we should take advantage of their natural talents. And if they are more inclined to technology, or some of them are more inclined to being physical with their hands, we should take advantage of that and allow them to pursue those natural talents. As far as businesses are concerned, you can start a business almost for free with these platforms that they have now. Yes, these platforms like Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, you know, things like that, they can be used for bad, can be used for good or bad. But a lot of these platforms do not require a lot of children's personal information to be out there. They don't require for children's faces to be out there, but they can showcase their natural talents, their gifts, or whatever that they're trying to sell. And as far as socializing, I think that it is great for children to socialize. Unfortunately, that is not my gift. I'm not a socializer. But my child is when I let him interact with other people. but they need that socializing skill so that they can market their talents, their abilities, or whatever they're trying to sell. So they can, let's just say y'all are taking kids out and about around town and stuff like that. If they have a business or they can make a fake business online, it doesn't have to be real, but just to get them to practice. They can make little flyers, little cards, so when they're out and about talking to people, hey, here's my card. I do this. Why don't you watch me do this, or why don't you watch what I make or something online? Because that's mostly, if it's not online, people are not gonna go to it in person. So that's all I have.
Wow. And now that was great because I'm taking notes. Using keying in on their natural talents because some kids really, you know, we see them flipping and jumping, and those are the children that probably would do very well in gymnastics. And I like that. I like what you said about tapping in on their natural talents, and that's a good note to kind of look at what direction are they good at. So I just want you to know I kept
looking
at that.
And also, like she said, this is the way it is. These children, they are a lot more tech savvy than a whole lot of people, okay? And they know things. They know how to program things already. Some of the classes they're taking are the coding thing. We never had coding. That's something that they used to have just in probably engineering school once they got to college. Mm-hmm. But these kids are doing this stuff now. And if they don't know how to be tech savvy, they're going to be behind. Like Kathy, you sent out a notice the other day about the air traffic controllers. Well, honey, you're not gonna be one of those people you pick if you're scared to work those computers. You have to really know what you're doing, and that's what they use, like they said, a Star Wars type things to train air traffic controllers. So we may not like it that they're like sometimes that they're giving these electronic devices early. Because, you know, but that's the way it is, you know. Like you said, they come out with the cell phone in their hand when they're first born. These little babies automatically know that they're supposed to start pushing stuff on their telephone automatically,
Yeah, so what can we do to turn negative situations into positive situations, especially ones that don't change? Or we find that we cannot readily change it ourselves, you know.
So really what you're saying, like the computers and technology, they're going to be here. We can't make that disappear. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So let's turn it into a positive. Because like the young lady just said, I'm not good with names, but she was like, they're playing chess, but we're playing checkers. Basically, they're like 5-6 steps ahead of us. So.
Correct.
Take whatever that situation is and turn it around for, you know, to better you and your household. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? I agree with you because I'm doing the trial run and what you were bringing about the computers, the JavaScript, teaching them from the beginning to the end. I'm working with my nephew, and I was fortunate enough, the class was $149 for the certification, 59 hours. Mm-hmm. They ran a special for $24.99, and I jumped on it immediately.
That's good.
And, I had to bring him in for him to have that interest. So I use that, this is your business, and you have to show me how much time, because it has a calculator to show how much time you have been in this class. This is your business. And he's calling me now, where I was calling him, you need to get on this, you need to But now he texts me 1 o'clock in the morning. Are you up?
Oh.
I'm on, you know. But I wanted to use that with a young person to kind of get an idea, because this was new to me, what it's like for them to go through it. And I know the benefit behind it once they get it, but we have to find a way to get our children interested in this, because as we were talking before, that our children are not exposed to it. Because in this one situation, someone online that didn't hear us speak about this before, a friend of mine's grandson was in a program. Going to find out it costs $3,500. He got a grant to go to a college, and their portion was $3,500, and the grant covered the rest. Well, children were coming in from other countries. The Chinese and Japanese young ladies came in with 5 certifications. I didn't know anything about the certification stuff.
Mm.
The other little girl from another country had 3. They thought their grandson coming in with 2, because he goes to this private school, they were proud of his 2 until they were faced with the other children coming from other countries that had 5. So our children were still behind. The child that was in the public school had 0. Because nobody shared that information with him in the public school. They was not privileged to this information. So we are doing a trial run to see how this certification goes, so we can use that as a benchmark on how to share this with other children to get them on target and ready for society. And I think Callie said something about, and that's very important, the coding. See, our children don't understand that they're moving so fast that they need to know this type of stuff in order to be marketable.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be in their portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking step by steps to look at certain things, but we're going to have some test markets with certain kids in these test markets, so they can be exposed and ready for this.
And you're right. I guess the word I would like to use is benchmark. And we're still a little behind, dated in our teaching and whatnot. And it's like we still know they have to have the basics. They always have to know how to read efficiently and math. That's the big. We're still thinking reading, writing, arithmetic, but they're thinking technology, science, and something else. They need to be proficient in basic stuff. But I tell you, the computer world and all this other stuff they're talking about, it's like it's almost foreign to us, because like I still don't understand when they come up with bitcoins or bitcoins. And this is something that these young people, they know all about, okay? And so we all need to maybe go back to school so we can understand the language that they're talking today. It is like Brittany was saying, it's like a lot of these young people, they have their own little business within this Facebook thing or YouTube, things that we don't even know how to even begin to get started on. So they can teach us as well as we're teaching them. You know, we give them a little bit of our world, and they can give us a little bit of their world, so that they'll be well-rounded.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that...
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to put in, I also think that we have to start teaching our children that if you want to go to college, that's fine, but keep in mind that you need to go to college to get a master's degree. As Black people are getting educated, a bachelor's degree is a high school diploma. So you need to, if you want to go to school, you need to go to school to get a master's degree. If you do not want to go to school, you need to get a trade, because they've got a lot of people out here that are using their hands, fixing people's houses, and they are making money.
They are.
And so bachelor's degree is not working anymore.
Right. Mm. Right now, a child can go to college and high school at the same time, and walk out of there with either so many credits or walk out of there with a bachelor's degree. Because now, if you look at it, you can be very extremely talented on the job, one of the top employees. But if someone come in that don't have any training, but they come in with their master's degree, they're going to make more money than you, and they're going to expect you to train them.
I hope you know it.
And one thing I like that you said is because we taught our kids, well, we go to college, get a good education. And most kids today that went to college without the bachelor's degree are not practicing in the field that they went in because jobs was not available. But a lot of people sent their kids to these trade schools or to get a certain trade degree or a specialty, and they are coming out owning companies, hiring our kids to work for them. And that's very important because everybody is not prepared to go to college mentally
for a long period of time.
But you got to be prepared for something.
Yes.
Well, I like that. I like that what you said, Brittany, because that's something that I didn't know. You said if they're going to go to college, we'll tell them to go get the master. Don't stop at the bachelor. Get the master, because that, like I said, a bachelor now is like a high school diploma. And I didn't realize that, but that's very important. Wow.
It's a waste of money to go just to get a bachelor's degree, because you're going to be making entry-level money. That's high school.
Right.
Wow.
And then when you see And when you see these programs out here that are being offered to our children, a good example, and I don't know how many people chimed in on it when the city of Detroit had these trade jobs that they were paying people, not just young people, anybody 18 and older, paying them at $17 an hour, which we know today $17 an hour is not enough money for a person to actually live on. But they were going to school for 2 years to learn a trade, but when they finish, they'll be making $35 an hour. Now, someone that cannot afford to pay for admission or pay for a trade school, that sometimes we got to step out and say, hey, let's look at this, because it is giving you something in the back pocket to say that I can work this even if I want to do something else later on down the line.
Exactly.
So that's I enjoy that. But something Callie said that I want to chime in on about the kids teaching them. See, today we are not old senior citizens. We need the young people. If you're listening, we don't need you to do it for us. We need you to teach us how to do it. If we need to crop some pictures, teach us, we'll get out a notebook out and take notes. Teach us how to crop that picture and move that picture around or things like that, because we're here to help each other. So I just wanted to chime in on that. When you made that statement, yes, that is so true. And the younger generation, let me do it, let me do it, let me do it. No, we want you to teach us how to do it. So we can communicate with you. If you're talking, we're talking to you about something, we know your language.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps with better communication.
Because they really be moving on that keyboard, I tell you. There's no way you can keep up. I mean, those fingers be going. It's like, oh, my gosh, you know. And they keep up. It's like they try to, especially with that iPhone, you know, they got so much on there that you have to learn on that iPhone. And but these young people, like I'm between the ages of like 7 and 12, I started at 7 years old, they can outdo any adult on the iPhone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
and just think about it. You know, it's going to keep going on and on and on. Even those little ones, when they get older, somebody going to have to do it for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, by then it'll all be done through the mind.
It's gonna be different.
That a virtual, yeah,
different.
Yeah,
they have to help us now. But I was telling a young man today, I say, some kids gonna have to help you one day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just keeps going. I told him you can't look back at you know, you're at an age right now that you'll never see again. You know, so do what it is you need to do and get what you need to get. Listen to your grandma. Listen to the things you need to listen to so you have it. If she's not trying to keep you, my parents, grandparents, they're not trying to keep you forever. They're just trying to prepare you to go out into this world, spread your wings, and get lost. They don't want you around them at 40 years old saying, Grandma, you got a dollar? You know, Grandma, can I sleep in the basement? Grandma, can I do this? Mama, can I, you know, they all on their leg and you know, on their head. Can I have this? No. We're trying to prepare you to get lost. We don't want you around forever and hear you talking back. We're trying to get rid of you. That's it. So you got to tell these kids that just like that. We want you to go. We ain't trying to hold you up. We want you to go. We want you to get lost. So that's why we're putting all this time in with you, because we don't want to see you on the block later on. We want to know that you're in Australia somewhere doing some good positive things.
Something.
You know, get away from the block. We're going to work with you on the block, but we're going to work with you to get out and get lost. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I like kids to get lost. Yeah. Don't we want them to get lost? We don't want them around us our whole life.
It's you saying on the block is crazy for me. I'm screaming.
Get on the block. Get off the block. Get lost. Go. My nieces and nephews, they are gone. They all over the place. Mm-hmm. We can go and visit them wherever we want to visit them. I love it. They not around here talking about can we have, can we this, can we, mm-mm. They took what we gave them, and they are gone doing their thing. Yeah, beautiful. And that's what we want for every child that's going to grow up to be a good, productive citizen. We're a lot of families are spending their time and their resources and their investment in the prison system. We're going to talk about that later, you know. We don't want that. Help them on this side. Help them on this side, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Before they even get there, let's try to help them. And so, like it says, if we don't help our youth now, we're going to be victims of not helping later. So educators, that's educating. Make sure you're educating them kids. Make sure you're doing the best that you can. You're doing the best that you can so you don't have any of that on you.
You know, when you pass them on, know that you gave them something that's going to help them for the rest of their life, so that they won't be, you won't fall victim to what you didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
Good conversation there. Very good. Let me see, I got some more notes. So, yeah, we talked about a lot today. Brittany, thank you. We want you to
you're welcome.
Be a regular and call in all the time. Yes, we need the young parents on there giving us your point of view, you know, giving us your point of view of these subjects and a way that we can help our youth get what they need to make it.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. I enjoyed it.
All right.
Yeah.
Very, very helpful. She was very, very helpful.
Yes, it was.
You know, mm-hmm. as a young parent, you know, that's some things we didn't think about, because I think that was very important. Like you said, you better tell your young ones that's going off to college, don't just stop at that bachelor's. You better go ahead and get that master's, because you get the bachelor's, you're going to go in as an entry level employee, and anybody can go in as an entry level employee. You want to come in,
and then how you going to pay?
Yeah,
exactly. And then how you going to pay off your student loan?
Oh yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
All that debt, they get a lot of good. Hopefully they get a lot of good grades where they don't have to worry about a student loan. And you got to, you know, we don't even talk to our kids about going to school or college at all, you know. So to tell them to just go in and get your doctorate, they got to just go straight in.
Mm-hmm.
We can't
they don't have to
go
do
school
something.
Or go, yeah, you don't have to say just go straight. We have to start since they're so far behind. You have to go in to get your master's or your doctorate, you know.
Yeah.
So bachelor's not, you know, you get to the bachelor's and all that, but that's just the elementary.
Exactly.
Go to senior status. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to have to encourage them extra. Yeah.
Right. Put it in their mind at an early age, you got to go to school for a while, buddy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right, but that's the time and investment that they're making now for their future, and we have to just let them know that. We have to just be real with them and just tell them just how it is, straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
This is for you. This is for your future. For your future, mm-hmm. You have to be able to take care of yourself, okay?
Yeah.
They have to know that, and then, you know, when they get to be 13, 14, 15, look, they adults, they grown men. They're already grown.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad say, when you get past that 13, 14, 15, you're home free. He said, because a girl, they're not a child and they're not an adult. So they're in between.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was telling a young man, I said, you 15 years old, you only got three more years to be up under grandma or mama, just three, and that's going to be like three days. That's how fast it's going to go. And you complaining and you having some behaviors and all that, it's going to be over for you. I say because a social worker told me long years ago that when you're young, they run to you. But when you're older, they're going to run from you. So long as they got money coming in for you, you know, these states and governments got all these programs and money coming in for you because they're getting money for you.
Yes.
To put you in these different programs. But as soon as that money get cut off and you're a certain age, they going the other way. They ain't going to look your way. They ain't going to have nothing for you. So you better respect what you got at home. Take good care of what you got at home and take advantage of what you getting at home because somebody's giving that to you. Take that and run with it. Do something with it. Three more years, you know, you're going to be on the verge of saying, ooh, being scared because you got to be an adult. that grandma and mama ain't going to care about you talking back because they're going to say, hit the road because I done gave you all I can give you.
And that's what
my dad said, I done all I can for you.
But you know, that's what we don't want. And that was some of the something that I spoke to my nephew about, and I explained to him, I can't talk to you as a child anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I have
mm-hmm.
to talk to you as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, you had some misfortune. You know, you lost your mom early, but you had to learn faster than an 18-year-old because I said, do you realize why I'm still pushing you? He said, why? One, I love you, but it's more than love that to get you to the next level. He said, what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I said, first of all, number one, I have to get you where you could stand on your own feet.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to visit somebody and spend the night, you still have your place over here. So when you get ready to leave, you got home to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have income coming in. If things shut down, you have to be able to afford
mm-hmm.
yourself. Whether
mm-hmm.
if the company shut down, you got to still have money coming in and be able to afford yourself. So I want you to stand on your feet. And I don't want you resting on your feet, because back when we were growing up, people went to the big three. The big three is not what it used to be.
Right.
Mm-mm. And there's probably after a certain level, it's not going to be anybody retiring from the big three.
Mm.
So that job mm-hmm. security from generations to generations is going to be null and void. So you got to find
right.
something
mm-hmm.
and go in a direction where you can do some things, whether and how important it is to keep your nose clean.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right, because as long as you don't have a criminal record, you can make
mm-hmm.
things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you know, Jackie, you were
go ahead.
I was going to say, Jackie, you were saying about you're not going to be able to retire anymore from the big three. And not only that,
mm-hmm.
it's like wherever you work at now, they want you to be a stock market expert, because they're telling you, okay, you get into the 401, but you have to watch the stock market in order to move your money from this spot to this spot. And where are they getting
mm-hmm.
the training? Because they did that in the federal government. They wanted to change the change our retirement plan from the civil service to the federal employment retirement system. But the federal employment retirement system, they said it's better. They said because they will be matching the funds if you put funds into different groups. But it's like I said to myself, well, I don't know anything about the stock market and which is safe and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't wasn't going to give you a crash course. So like you said, nowadays they're not going to give you the opportunity to retire from Ford, General Motors, or Chrysler. And a lot of these places, even now, they after the person get 20 years, they're either closing this plan or they sell it to someone else, and so you may not ever be able to retire. And that was one thing that Obama said when he was in office, talking about starting your own business and things like that. And he said that back when he was in office. So that's something that, young people need to listen to. It's like if you do get, once you do get education or you have a talent, then you better be able to start your own business and be able to save your money for your retirement. You know, put your money away to save it for retirement.
That's it. And you know what? And that's something that, and I guess we wasn't trained, but Einstein brought that to the fruition. What he said is that it's called Rule of 72, where that individual is dividing 72 by the interest rate, tells you how long it takes your money to double. And a lot of times we did not know these things, and we don't know the right vehicle where to put our money. And that's what happens in a lot of cases. And then when it's time to retire, we thought we had it. See, we thought we had it together, but when I say the chess, they playing chess, and we playing checkers. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
We turn around and took our security. And with this medical insurance.
Go ahead.
Okay, with the medical insurance, and I was looking at a lady, and she was saying she had two young children that was on insulin, and her bills were declined because she wanted to save their lives. Paying $2,000 a month for each of those children to have insulin.
Wow.
And it's calculated because I remember when we were coming up, and I know we ate our food. Our parents went to the garden and picked it, and we had fresh food and fresh fruit in the yard and whatever. But we have a lot of young people that have underlying health problems.
Lack of exercise, Jackie. Lack of exercise. Because while they were picking the stuff out of the gardens, we had always had a garden. My daddy always had a garden every year. But we were out there after we had the slaves in the house cleaning up. We went out there running. We had to clean up the house first after we were able to escape out the house. Then we were, we did a lot of, kickball, baseball, hot stop, all that, jump rope.
Right.
Stuff we don't see kids doing at all.
No, they don't.
Jumping rope, double dutch, and all.
Exercise. We had a class of children.
So those are things we have to bring back. So I think if we get out there and do it on our block and people see us doing it, then it'll catch on, and maybe they'll put the kids out the house and they say, you go down that block and play some jump rope and kickball with those kids. we have to get them back out the house so we can see what they're doing in the house. Because in a minute, they're going to be learning how to build bombs just being in the house. It's dangerous to be in the house. They're finding guns
and it's dangerous to be in
trouble.
The house. It's dangerous to be in the house. It's dangerous to be outside too. It's like, unfortunately, these kids, it's hard to even be outside with a lot of things going on. And this is every city. Every city has its problems going on right now. So, it's safe in your house. But my goodness, we hear about stuff all the time. When you were just in your bedroom, something came whizzing by. So...
That's why we're going to get them out and we're going to start this change. And once they see this change, then maybe people start to be a little bit more human, and focus on the kids. Now the kids are outside. Good. Let's try to do something with the kids. Let's try to help them. Let's try to make it safe for them. Let's keep our eyes open and watch them. Because once they see you out there, and working with these kids, then they'll catch on.
What are your plans for the winter, Kathy? What are your plans for the winter months? I said, plans?
I don't know. Maybe we'll go skiing, make some, if we get enough snow, we'll build a snowman. Just common stuff that we used to do when we were kids. Do some angels in the snow. Throw some snowballs, have some snowball fights, just some interactive stuff like that. Go downtown, go ice skating. I don't know, just lots of things. It's always lots of things to do. Do some reading programs. We could do some reading over the Zoom. The computer. On Zoom, But I like to be outside, so I just want to get the kids used to being out social,
you know, socializing with one another. I know on the 27th of this month, August, let me see. Okay, so on the 27th, Open House 2022, everything is free. Come out and get your kids enrolled in school, a free COVID-19 vaccination, some new or gently used clothes, register to vote. We're Runner for Christ Ministries, 2708 5 West Outer Drive, East Coast, Michigan, and that's going to be Saturday, August 27th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's right, everything you need in one place, plus food, games, and crafts. It will be fun, too, everything to see. So that's what we're doing at our church on the 27th. Just to give the community a chance to just come out and socialize and hear a good word, you know, get some information, play some games, and get some prizes and things like that. And then maybe you want to come to our church sometime and, you know, get the kids interested in going back to church and bringing them to church. And I try to put on Facebook every morning, you know, take your kids to church or take a kid to church, take a kid on your block to church, and just take them, and they might enjoy it. And because that's part of the well-roundedness. I took my kids, they was ready this morning because they know I'm going to get them an activity, you know, I reward them, and they look forward to their reward, so they'd be ready. And I said, be on my porch at 8:30, and they were there. Ready to roll, because they know that we're going to have fun. You heard them in the background hollering in the window and banging on the door, trying to be, so they ready for their reward.
Okay, so I enjoyed today. I really did.
Great.
It was very informative.
And I need to get out because they all out in the street. They just wild as ever. Come on, Jackie, what you say?
Oh, no, no. I think Callie had the last word. She was standing there.
I was saying what because I forgot.
Somebody said they enjoyed today.
Oh,
I
that
said
was Jackie.
Enjoy today, and I think Callie said it was very informative.
Oh, good,
yeah,
good,
you know,
good.
Very,
yes,
very
it was. I thank you guys.
And,
I thank
so
you guys very much.
Are
Kathy,
we
going to
have to
hear
from Pastor O? I mean, I just love when he bring that wisdom on campus.
Right, that's right. Pastor O is at a function today. And he had to go. It was a 90-something year old mother at his church that he used to that's his pastor's church birthday to celebration day. He had to go, and I was like, "You go, we'll hold it down." And he had to do that. And so 90 years old, I wanted to go. Heck.
Yeah.
Somebody 90 celebrating, you know, their birthday. So he had to go to that, and that's good. Gave him a chance to get out and let his hair down, even though he's bald. Yeah. So he always talks about his hair.
Well, Kathy.
And then we keeping his brother up in prayer. One of his baby brother, is in hospice, and so we're praying for him in that situation and all of that. And if anybody have any resources that they want to share, you could do that. Good show today. Go ahead, Dee, what you say?
I heard you say the children were out there in the street. I would like to say keep all the kids out the street. The street is nowhere for them to be playing at. People are driving and they're going to be hit by a car. So, tell those children to play in the backyard. Everybody has a nice backyard. Put something back there. Tell them to stay out the street because they're going to get ran over.
I tell them every day and they just keep on and I can just see their little heads running back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
They told me the other day, we wish we lived on the same side of your street so we won't have to worry about crossing the street. Just stay where you at.
Well, they don't have to learn. Like my husband always taught, he says, discipline. When you tell them not to be in the street, they need to learn discipline and not be in the street, because there's too many. I know you guys got the speed bump out there, but some people don't care about the speed bump. And there's like your little boy, 6 years old, last week got hit by a car in Redford. And the man said, well, I kept telling him, get out the street, get out the street.
Yeah.
The street is not a place for children to be playing at. They need to be in the backyard or find a field to play in, but stay out the street.
I'm going to enforce it.
I'm going to enforce it because, like you said, you keep telling me, keep telling me, then all of a sudden something happened. I don't want that day to come at all. So I'm going to tell them, and I'm going to threaten them and let them know, okay, you can't go on this activity if I see you in the street, if you go on the street. Yeah. So I'm going to get them. That's right, because they're too little. I told them, I don't know who even told you you could even be in the street in the first place. You know, I know we used to play in the streets when we were kids, but the cars was, when they saw us playing in the street, they would go another way, and they cared about the kids. But these people not paying attention, they on the phone, and they, you know, going too fast. So yeah, and we had enough sense to know when a car was coming to get out the street. We did not make them wait for us to move. Someone had obviously a car coming, and we all may get to the curb. We didn't hold people up because we were being disrespectful. We got out the street because we knew the street was not where we were supposed to stand from, playing in from the get-go.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't a lot of cars back then, so and it was a lot more safer. Yeah. So
it was a lot of cars.
A lot of cars, even back then, and those cars are made out of real steel, okay? Knocked down by one of them, you weren't going to get back up, okay?
Right.
And people were not spiteful and mean. They didn't try to run you over. Now, they'll see you in the street, they'll keep on driving faster, you know, and so you'll just be out of luck. So these kids don't
have
been in the street.
Yeah.
I remember instead of the car hitting me, I hit the car. And I almost paralyzed myself. I hit it so hard playing that game in the street that Mr. Woodbury taught us to play. And I fell right into Mr. King's car. Like you said, those were real cars back then, steel. And I was, I think I'm feeling that today. I ran into the car, full speed ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, instead of the car hitting me.
Wow.
Yeah, so, sure did. I remember that. Okay, well, hey, anybody have any last words that they want to say until we meet again? Come on over and out to Runner for Christ Ministries on the 27th of August and get to meet the people that you hear on the station. I'm going to have a bring back the family table out there. We're going to talk to the parents. We're going to give out some prizes, some T-shirts, and, you know, and just talk to the young folk and the young parents about, you know, what they're doing to help their youth make it in this world. What they're doing, what are they doing for them? What, you know, do they know about? We're going to ask them some questions. Yeah. And we're gonna gear them to listen to the show. And so everybody, just as you care about what's going on in this world and with our youth in the community, and we want to start this thing to getting our kids educated, getting them to be well-rounded, and send out the notification that is sent to you about bringing back the family on Sundays at 4 so that more people will listen and this thing will catch a hold and we will be on track, you know. Okay, so thank you, everybody. Thank you, Brittany. Thank you, Jackie and Neatly, Ms. Pierce. Thank you for all your participation. Thank you, all the listeners that listened in today. I hope that you heard something that's going to bring you back again to listen and something that's going to help you to reach back and help someone else, bring one of the youth up and give them whatever you had that helped you to make it in this world.
you know, just share, bring back the family, and, you know, let's go from there. It's all good. God is going to bless everything that we do because this is the thing. Like I tell people, I say, I don't need nothing else. I want to get whatever I have. I want to give it to the youth, you know, let me see them enjoy it, you know. It's not about leaving, you know, millions of dollars to somebody or hundreds of thousands of dollars. Invest in it right now where you can see them use it. Whatever amount you have, invest in them right now. So that you could see them enjoy it. You could see the fruits of your labor, okay? And so that's it. That's it. It don't take much to share a kind word, share a hug, share some love, you know, share a finance, share whatever we have. Kids think I'm rich. I say, no, I'm not rich. I just work hard, and I share what I have, whether it's a little or it's a lot. I just share it, and that's all to it. It's not, you know, nothing that I got a big old stack of money hiding, so we're not like that at all. At all. God just blessed, you know, the investment. That's all he does is bless it, and he will bless you for whatever you do. That's it. Mm-hmm. Give you what you need when you need it, and that's worth a lot to me, okay? All right, thank everybody. Just can't wait till next week. You know, keep this going about family and you know, the importance of family and what it's really about. And just hopefully we can, you know, try to reach these kids and give them what it is that they need to make it. And that's our responsibility. That's our responsibility. Okay. All right. Get that song going, and then I will see you guys. Anybody got anything else? Thank you. Love, love.
Yeah, have a good night. Good night.
Good night.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up. Never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all.